May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may have heard the saying, God is a God of surprises. And some of you may have read the book by the same title. Expressions like this are sometimes in danger of losing their meaning through overuse. But this one never has for me. And I think this is because God's presence in my life has been very surprising. And one particular experience comes to mind. When my husband Ivan and I first moved to Britain, we lived in St. Andrews, Scotland. During this time, I worked as a lay chaplain in local care homes. We had weekly services for the residents and their family and friends. And one particular service, a man named Tom regularly attended. Now, Tom, who was in the later stages of dementia, never spoke. And in the few years I knew him, I only heard him say a faint whisper. And yet he clearly enjoyed the service and would normally sit and smile throughout. On one occasion, I was giving a talk about Jesus, and I said something like, Jesus loves us. And Tom suddenly broke out into song. He sang clearly and loudly a few rounds of the familiar Sunday school song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he sang it again, and then again in German. And as you might imagine, all of us there were amazed. And after a while, we joined with Tom in the singing. Now, this experience was deeply moving to all of us there that day. Tom, it seemed, had an encounter with God. And Tom's encounter with God sparked deep memories which had been hidden in apparent darkness. And the words, Jesus loved us, reminded Tom that Jesus loved him. And through Tom and his song, we were all reminded that Jesus loved each one of us. And this revelation came in a very surprising way. I tell this story because it is an example of God speaking into our world, into my world. God meets us in our day-to-day life when we least expect it, and often through very surprising people, people like Tom. And this, I think, also is what we see in today's gospel reading. Jesus is speaking something new into his world, something surprising. John has come to Jesus with a complaint. He's seen someone casting out demons in Jesus' name, and he is upset. Now, and this is important, this person is not one of them. He is different and unfamiliar. A modern equivalent might be an evangelist on a street corner, loudly proclaiming the gospel in a way that makes us feel uncomfortable, different from what we are used to. Now, to give a bit of context, Jesus here is in the middle of his journey towards Jerusalem on his way to the cross, and he is preparing his disciples for their journey ahead, for their future as leaders in the church. And what he says is surprising. Jesus tells John, don't stop this man. It's good what he is doing. Whoever is not against us is for us. Jesus then gets serious. Don't be a stumbling block to these little ones. Don't turn people away from God. Serve others and allow them to serve you. And be at peace with one another. And here we see the radical call of following Jesus. God has a special place for children and for the powerless. To cause a little one to fall away from God brings some of the harshest sayings we see in the Gospels. Harsh, yes, but they get to the point. Jesus is saying that it is no small thing to overlook a little child or dismiss the voice of those on the margins. For when we take the time to listen to the small voices, to those on the margins, God meets us in surprising ways. On a recent visit to St. Peter's School, a young boy said to me, "We should love others, especially all the refugees, and we should each give them a room in our house." Now, is this true, or is it just a lovely sentiment? Now, we adults, we know better. We see that this is an ideal, that this is simply an innocent comment. And yet this innocent comment might just be a way to hear Jesus' words for us today. This little boy from St. Peter's gives a voice to the presence of God in unexpected places. And we need to hear this voice when we watch the news and see the seemingly insurmountable problems. We may struggle to see God in the reality of this world. We may wonder where he is. And then, unexpectedly, like this child, we see a sign of hope. You have may heard this past week the story of Ahmed, a bright and inquisitive 14-year-old Muslim American boy. Ahmed, it seems, had made a clock at home, and he was so proud of his clock that he brought it to school to show his teacher. But the teacher, rather than praising his work, viewed the clock, and more importantly, Ahmed, with suspicion. She heard the ticking and panicked. Assuming it to be a bomb, she called the police, and Ahmed was arrested. Now, eventually, the truth was revealed, and he was released. But the damage was done, and the story soon hit social media. And as you might imagine, there are as many opinions on the event as there are people on Twitter or Facebook. And yet, what they all have in common is fear. Ahmed's story has brought to surface not only the fear in his community, but the fear that continues to grow and to spread. Fear like this takes over, and to use the words of Jesus, becomes a stumbling block, blinding us to the presence of God in others. And I believe this growing fear sheds light both on our society and also on the church. And at a time when the Anglican Communion is asking if it will hold together, this is important. If they are not against us, they are for us. Jesus here cuts to the truth of what it means to be the church, the one body unified in Christ, living in the joy and the discomfort of difference. Towards the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "Do not hinder the little ones. Don't be a stumbling block." And here again, God surprises us. What we think we understand is turned around. We assume that Jesus means that those with power and influence ought to help and not hinder those without. Now, this, of course, is true, but in my experience, the opposite is also the case. The powerful need some help from the powerless. And this brings me again to Tom. People like Tom have challenged my understanding of God, and they have shown me the depth of my own poverty before God. They have enlightened my faith and helped me to see the surprising nature of God's presence in our lives. So from here, Jesus' words to John and to us begin to make sense. Whoever is not against us is for us. For this is our hope. Jesus brings light in the midst of darkness. And he does this within the diversity and complexity of our world. So whether it be Tom, Ahmed, or the parishioner next door, what the other does may be surprising, but if we watch closely, this just might be where we see the presence of God.